Off the Ball, GAA.
It's probably a do or die game for both of them, you know, and pressure is on now. So win it and your year could open up for you for either tip or waff, or lose it and you're dead right. Even if other results go against you, you could be nearly even out.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets.
Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Hello and welcome along to Wednesday night's Off the Ball. I'm Susanna Mullen, filling in for Owen tonight alongside my two Word on the Street podcast co-hosts in Eve Conway and Rachel Sheehan. They'll be covering various football and GAA stories across tonight's show. And I'm delighted to say we've got Rachel in for the news round with us now. Rachel, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me, Susanna.
No, thank you for being here. We've also got now a seasoned news round expert in Ben Symes. Ben, how are you?
I'm very well, Sonnet. How are you?
I'm good. And last but very much not least, of course, we've got David Seagrave bringing us tonight's news. David, welcome along.
Thank you very much.
I think there's nowhere else we can start except for the breaking news this evening that's maybe breaking but maybe not very surprising in the fact that Chelsea have parted ways with their manager, Liam Ross Sr., after just 3.5 months with the club. Ben, this was pretty much a foregone conclusion after yesterday's loss against Brighton, wasn't it?
Yeah, it certainly felt that way when proceedings were coming to a close last night. Look, I think people kind of felt this way as soon as Liam Senior came in the door, that it was maybe not end this soon after 3.5 months, but definitely it felt like he wasn't going to stay his 6.5 year contract. Look, as soon as Senior came in the door, we did kind of get this feeling of, this is a guy who's a little bit out of his depth and he's been put in here too soon. And look, what's he going to say? As John Bruin said the other night, he's in the Strasbourg office and he gets asked to move to the London office. He's not exactly able to turn down his employers. For me, this is like, you know, a wider problem at Chelsea than just Liam Senior. Since Bluco have come in 2022, this is now 5 managers gone in the space of 4 years. If they don't qualify for the Champions League this year, which looks quite likely, it's going to be no Champions League in 3 of the last 4 years. They spent over $1 billion on a project that no one really knows where it's going or what it's doing. I mean, the players last night at the end of the game against Brighton, I don't know if you were watching it, I could not believe what I was seeing. Players just standing in front of the away end with their hands on their hips, fans roaring abuse at the players, you know, banners up, Bluco out. It's just an absolute mess of a football club. Enzo Fernandez, who is in your, you know, supposedly Liam Senior leadership group, stand there with his hands on his hips for numerous minutes. The conduct from the players, like, for me, look, you can say so much about Rossignol and he is out of his depth, but the conduct from these players being paid the money that they're getting paid on the contracts that they're on is just absolutely, like, it's ridiculous. It's beyond all realms of what you thought a Premier League footballer was capable of doing. Marco Correa's barber releasing the team sheet before the game against Brighton on social media channels, the team sheet for both games against PSG getting released on social media and to the French media before it's announced. Enzo Fernandez coming out and saying, I want to live in Madrid. I want to, you know, want to move to Madrid. Marco Correa saying we shouldn't have sacked Enzo Fernandez. And you've the kiss of death last week when your majority owner and Bluco co-founder, Big Bally, comes out and says, I think we're behind Liam. Not even, yeah, we're behind Liam Senior. I think we're behind Liam. This has just been, you know, if we were a little bit later on in the evening, I could probably use more expletives to describe how this Bluco ownership has gone on at Chelsea. But my word, this latest last 3.5 months has just brought everything up to a whole new level. And if you're a Chelsea fan, yeah, God, I'd be worried about where you go next. Because, look, I have heard that they're looking at getting a more established manager, and I do think that's what Chelsea need. But do you even trust anything to happen when that manager comes in, and what kind of project is going to be set up for the next couple of months? Because we've been watching this so-called Chelsea project now for the last couple of years, and it's funny, I keep seeing getting referred to as a project on Sky and on other TV channels. And at what stage do we stop calling it a project and just start calling this the failure that it's turned out to be?
But even just to go back to what you were saying there a moment ago about Bowley's comments the other day, where he thinks he's behind them. I mean, there's a certain element of sympathy both to Rossignol and to the players, because I'd imagine just hearing that uncertainty from the top down, like, that can't be a normal environment to be working in at any stage.
Yeah, no, because it's not. Like, Chelsea have this bizarre model at the top where, as you said, it's Blue Coast, so it's two companies that have come together. You've Todd Bowley, who's came in from America, and then you've Clear Lake Capital, who are spearheaded by Begdad Egbali, who made those comments the other day. And, you know, yeah, from the start, you were looking at this bizarre model where Todd Bowley was the front of every single, you know, media outlet in England at the time. And you'd be rightly forgiven for thinking this guy had full control of the club. He owns about 10% of Chelsea. 60-odd percent are owned by the other half of Blue Co and Clear Lake Capital. So you already have this kind of situation where he's coming out of the front of the media declaring ownership. They already don't get on with each other. There seems to be no structures and plans in place for what really happens. Like, we know they had a meeting this morning that was going to decide whether a senior stays or not. They've decided he's gone. But it's just time and time again now with this. It's mad. It's bizarre. It's only been 4 years. It feels like it's been going on for a lot longer than that, ever since Roman Abramovich left. And for a club who, look, yeah, probably came into a lot of limelight from nothing when Roman Abramovich came in the early noughties, but to see the fall off from a so-called established Big Six club to a club that are, you know, like five games in a row without scoring, all defeats, 114 years run, no structure, no direction of where they're going, from top to middle management to players, middle management to perfect for Liam Rossini as well. Just an absolute, as Kevin Caban said, an absolute load of drivel. Just a nonsense appointment by a nonsense board and a nonsense joke of football club at the moment.
Yeah, 114 years is certainly not a great legacy to leave Chelsea with. I presume this is where your news round starts this evening, David?
Yes. So, as we already mentioned, Liam Rossini has been sacked as Chelsea boss. They confirmed that they've parted ways with the former Strasbourg boss after just 3 months. They said the decision was not taken lightly. However, recent results and performances have fallen below the necessary standards. Just to add on to Ben's point about the five Premier League losses in a row, they were also eliminated from the Champions League during his 3 month spell. That was an 8-2 aggregate loss to PSG. However, they did also reach the FA Cup semi-final, beating Port Vale 7-0 in the last round. And looking ahead to that game this weekend, Callum McFarlane will now take charge for that game.
You've got other football news, unless you have a point to make on that further, Ben.
It's just absolutely insane. Another man, Callum McFarlane, who wasn't good enough to be a youth team manager at Southampton, at Manchester City, and now all of a sudden he's going to bring into an FA Cup semi-final at the weekend against Leeds. And the fact that, look, I you can say what you want about Rossini, and this run is absolutely dreadful, but the fact that they've thought, yeah, the best man we can have going into that FA Cup semi-final at the weekend is Callum McFarlane. I'm just glad I'm not a Chelsea fan, because if this is me not as a Chelsea fan, absolutely flabbergasted at what's going on. I can only imagine what's going through.
Yeah. If they go on to win the FA Cup, does it salvage anything, or is it still an absolute disaster of a season?
No, it's a disaster. It's an absolute, for a club like that, when there's five places on offer for the Champions League, if they do not get the Champions League, which it looks like they're not, that has to be categorised as a disaster after the money spent. Yeah.
It's just kind of been like a rinse and repeat ever since Bowley kind of took the reins. I mean, it just seems to be going from strange crisis almost.
Yeah. Rachel, you spotted that his one record will stay in the family. He hasn't beaten his dad on one thing.
Yeah, his dad, when he went back to manage Torquay at the second time of asking, lasted just 10 minutes. He'd agreed, he'd gone down just on the press conference, and about 10 minutes later, they got the call to say that a local consortium was after buying the club and they had their own manager. Now, he was very generous after. He said, look, I'm not taking it personally. It's not obviously anything I did while I was in charge for the brief 10 minutes, and no one remembers the first time I was in charge of them and they actually got promoted. But at least Liam will still have bragging rights to say, I lasted longer than you.
Not by much, but yes, a couple of months longer. There's other news with Man City having a chance to take top spot this evening, David.
Yeah, a win against Burnley would see them move ahead with just 4 games left to play in the Premier League season. They're currently 3 points behind Arsenal, who have remained at the summit for over 200 days now. A one-goal win would see them move ahead on goals scored, while any higher margin than that would see them go top on goal difference. City were criticised for celebrating their 2-1 win over Arsenal last weekend, with players understandably delighted with the result, and their manager Pep Guardiola dismissed the criticism.
Respect the opponent and the fans of the opponent. Celebrate whatever you want. I want to wait till the end of the season, celebrate or celebrate. Come on. I said every single game, go to our fans and enjoy the moment. So what sense is not the life? You have to celebrate just once if you win, and you don't win, you have to be cry all the time. Come on. So as much
Of course, we're not going to celebrate in the middle of the week. You win 3 or 4-0 will be the opponent's different. But everybody knew that that game, it was a final, especially for us. For them, not much, but for us, it was a final. So, of course, you have to celebrate it.
I saw this. One of those people complaining about the celebrations was none other than Wayne Rooney. What do you make of it?
Like, it's something we've grown accustomed to kind of all across Europe, and it happens a lot in League of Ireland as well. I know when Shamrock Rovers win a game, Stephen Bradley makes his players go out and clap the whole four corners of the stadium. I mean, it works. It clearly works. If the trophies that Shamrock Rovers have won over the last couple of years in Ireland and that Pep has won at Manchester City, I don't... Look, if especially in the Premier League, if you're paying 50, 60, 70 odd pounds for a ticket and you come up with a big win, especially a win over the likes of Arsenal, why wouldn't you go and clap those people and thank them for showing up and supporting you? I just think, you know, maybe a little bit of a perspective is needed in situations like that, you know?
It does seem a little Roy Keane-esque, the criticism, I think. I mean, it's a big moment for them in their season, because, like, if you look at it about a month or two ago, all the signs pointed towards Arsenal, and it's only kind of in the last couple of weeks that that's kind of flipped on its head. So, I mean, if you get the job done, you should, in my opinion at least, be happy with it. Like, you're back on course to win a Premier League title, like.
Yeah, I can never understand people complaining about celebrating a win like that. Saw a little bit of it at the weekend as well. Ben O'Connor went onto the pitch in Thurles. I've brought it around to Cork fairly quickly. Ben O'Connor went onto Thurles and, you know, started congratulating. He went around to every team member individually and congratulating them. And he got a bit of grief saying, oh, it's only the first round of the championship, but everyone knows it's a game they wanted to win. Like, I don't understand not celebrating a win.
Yeah, I'd agree. I also think, to touch on your point, Ben, as a fan, you want to see the team you support being passionate about what they're doing. And a good fist pump, or in Halling's case, a rip of the t-shirt and run around the pitch. Like, it just shows how much it means to them. And I think you can't fault them for that.
Yeah, it doesn't detract from focus. Celebrating after
especially
a win.
After the win.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that they're not going to focus on winning the next day, or they're getting complacent. It's 10 minutes after the game.
But even aside from the fact that you're, you know, going to have the end goal of winning the league at the end of the season, you're also going to have objectives throughout the season. If you achieve those, they should be celebrated. It's kind of, and just to go back to what Ben said about Shamrock Rovers, yeah, when you have these moments, you kind of need to build on them and take confidence from them. If you're not doing that, then what's the point?
Yeah. No, it's true. Elsewhere, a former Premier League winning club has been confined to League One football next season.
Yeah, Leicester City's 2-2 draw with Hull last night confirmed their relegation to English football's third tier, just 10 years on from their Premier League title win. The Foxes shocked the footballing world when they won the title under Claudio Ranieri, but things have gone from bad to worse in the decade since. Ranieri was sacked soon after their title win in the 2015-16 season, with the Italian dismissed from his role by February 2017. They were then relegated from the Premier League last season, amassing just 25 points, and now they follow that up with yet another relegation. The club's chairman, Ayoat Shriva Dhanaprabha, made the following statement after last night's game, saying that relegation to League One is now confirmed. As chairman, that responsibility sits with me. There are no excuses.
Now, the news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets, contains sildenafil. For adult men with erectile dysfunction, maximum dosage, 150 milligram tablet per day, always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie, subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film-coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Welcome back to tonight's news round with myself, Susanna Mullen, filling in for Owen tonight. We're going to ticket prices for the Ryder Cup, David.
Yeah, the Ryder Cup is, of course, coming to Ireland next year. And as you mentioned, the ticket details and prices were announced by Ryder Cup Europe this morning. The good news for Irish fans hoping to head to Adair Manor next September is Ireland will get early access to tickets from this Friday at 11 a.m. However, daily admissions tickets will cost around €500, which is the highest ever at a European tournament. It's double the price of tickets for the same event in Rome 4 years ago. However, it is still lower than the $750 price tag that was shelled out by fans who attended last year's tournament at Bethpage Black in New York. European Tour Group's Chief Ryder Cup Officer Richard Atkinson told News Talk earlier on that they tried to make the pricing accessible.
We've priced it in a way that makes it accessible for a wide demographic. So on practice days, the tickets will be from €89 juniors will be able to access the venue from 20 euros. And for match day tickets, it'll be 499.
Just on that as well, Atkinson later defended the price increases in another interview, telling the BBC that a lot has happened in the world since the tournament in Rome 4 years ago, or 3 years ago, sorry.
This is outrageous, no? Am I the only one who finds this absolutely outrageous? I like that everyone reported it as 499 euro. Not quite the 500, we're saving ourselves.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's preposterous. It's just sickening, to be honest. When you look, it's what is this, 20 years since we last had a Ryder Cup in Ireland, and you know, it's funny, it's 500 quid and it's going to be by far, so it seems now, from now on, the most accessible you're going to be able to get if you live in Ireland, purely by the fact that you won't have to worry about travel and accommodation. But like, it's 6:30 a.m. start, so you're going to be on, you know, if you live in Dublin, you're on the road from, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning. If you live further north or south down towards Wexford, you're on the road even earlier. You know, 640 euro, I think, is the conversion from Bethpage Black. But like, even comparing it to that is one thing. You're comparing it to, you know, the US capitalistic market where everything is, you know, priced up tenfold. Like, if you go to an MLS game in America, you're paying $18 for a beer. Like, that's what you're competing with. So if you compare it to Rome and you're over double the price from the tickets in Rome, you cannot justify that a lot has happened in the world. Whereas you're going to see a golf tournament, like, you cannot justify that much of an increase.
Yeah, and I feel like you would not be happy to, but you would expect to pay that much going to New York.
Yeah.
You do not expect to pay 500 quid
Limerick.
To go to Adair. Yeah.
Yeah. No disrespect to Limerick or Adair Manor, but like, it's not quite New York City. Like, it's not,
yeah,
not
look,
really comparable.
Adair is a wonderful golf course. It really is. And look, a lot of money has been pumped into it, and it is amazing. And the problem is now is you will get people to pay it, so they'll be able to justify it and say, oh, the demand was there. Like, demand was going to be there for the Ryder Cup either way. You're going to have a lot of people coming into Ireland with a lot of money to spend a lot of money at this Ryder Cup. Like, demand is there no matter what, you know, how many tickets are on offer, whatever the price is, they will sell them out. Like, to do, like, practice days are 89. What do you really see on a practice day? Like, not a whole lot. It's just, yeah, it's a real kick in the teeth for people who might have thought, like people like myself, who I was a child when the Ryder Cup came 20 years ago, and it actually fell on the weekend of my two little sisters being born, so I didn't get to go, and no one got to go. And now it's 20 years later, and it's like, yeah, you want to go? Yeah, it's 500 quid.
Absolutely.
500 quid and a 4 a.m. start, go on. I have no problem with the 4 a.m. start. It's just 500 quid.
I had a look at the ticket prices back in 2005 in the K Club, and it was an article in the Irish Independent before they went on sale. They were going to have a maximum capacity of 40,000 spectators a day. Saturday tickets, 100 euro. Sunday tickets, 100 euro. 130 euro. 4 day tickets, 345 euro. Now, I understand that back then a pint was still probably, you know, you'd get change from
4 quid.
4 quid. But it just shows how far it's coming. I've seen the arguments that say a ticket for the All-Ireland final this year was about 100 euro. That's 70 minutes long, and you're going to go down to Adair and you're going to spend 7, 8, 9 hours on the golf course. And when you think about it that way, bang for your buck, hour by hour, does it work out? It's probably like a twice in a lifetime opportunity that you'll get to go. I still think it's extortion, but people are going to pay it. And it's funny that they're going to give access to Irish people. I think they reckon about 1/3 of the tickets will come here. It is like All-Ireland final day, you know, when they allocate the tickets to the clubs.
Yeah.
You're going to have people from New York going over being like, oh, you know, I'm sorted from the distant cousin that I have in Ballinash. He sorted me with tickets.
Yeah, I just think, like, I get the point of bang for your buck, but I just think in general across the board, the price for sporting events is absolutely ridiculous to the roof. And you have a chance here to not keep rising it. Like, they're going to make the money either way. They're going to make a hell of a lot of money either way. You have a chance to not do it. Look, they know people pay it. That's the problem, isn't it? And as long as they know people are going to pay, they're just going to keep going one way.
I do agree to a certain point that there's going to be a price increase. Naturally, there's going to be a price increase 4 years on from Rome, and Ireland is that little bit more expensive than Italy would be. So I get that there is going to be a gap there as well. But like, double the price just seems like a crazy jump to make to me.
And we need to do an Olivia Dean on it. You know, when she capped her ticket prices.
I would pay all kinds of money to go see Olivia Dean, to be honest, probably about 500 quid. There is also more golf news, David.
Yes, Shane Lowry has also had to change his partner for the upcoming Zurich Classic. He'll team up with Brooks Koepka for this year's tournament in New Orleans. He had previously played the event with Rory McIlroy, with the duo winning the title in 2024. However, the back-to-back Masters winner has opted not to take part in this year's event. And now Lowry and Koepka will tee off from around 6:30 tomorrow evening.
That's a real pity. I absolutely love the Zurich Classic with Rory and Shane. It's like one of the few times a year, obviously the Ryder Cup as well, but that doesn't happen every year, that you get to see them in action together.
Yeah, it's disappointing. It's probably all made a little bit more disappointing by the fact that at the end of the Masters, you were so happy for Rory this year, but you were just even that more disappointed Shane. And even, you know, hearing what he said to him at the end, and he was just too disappointed and frustrated with his own play to be able to, you know, properly congratulate him. The only plus, I love watching Brooks Koepka. I absolutely love watching Brooks Koepka. I'm so glad he's back. I was watching the RBC Heritage last weekend, and he was the last. He was the last competitor. Like, now he didn't get to compete basically because he was the last kind of waiting for someone to drop out. We thought Morikawa was going to go. He ended up sitting on the sidelines for the whole thing. I'm so excited to see him back in the full swing of things. Pardon the pun, but him alongside Shane for me, like, look, yeah, it's disappointing to not have Rory, but Brooksy alongside him is as close as it gets.
Reckon he's as good as a fill-in as McIlroy would be?
I don't think so.
No. Yeah, great move for Shane, though. You know, like, it's so often the narrative gets thrown to Rory whenever himself and Shane play together. So it'll be great for him to go out on his own. And if him and Brooks do well, it'll be because of Shane, not because Shane was playing well alongside Rory. And when they won last year, the scenes were great, but a lot of it was still focused around Rory. So I think it'll be really important for him to spread his wings and go out on his own in this one. And hope they do well.
Get a little bit of limelight on him for once. Yeah. David, Ireland's, in terms of the rugby, Ireland's squad is looking healthy ahead of their Six Nations game this weekend.
Yeah, a clean bill of health has been reported in the Ireland camp ahead of their third round fixture this Saturday. Scott Beaman should have a full squad to pick from ahead of his team announcement tomorrow. They picked up their first win of the tournament at the weekend, beating Italy 57-20 at Dexcom Stadium. They continue their campaign against France this weekend, the same side that knocked them out of the World Cup last year. Despite the loss, Ireland defence coach James Scaisbrook says although they want to win, settling the score isn't exactly on their mind this week.
Our primary focus is to get better each week on week, you know. So growing our game, making sure that we're learning all the time is our most important thing and our number one driver in everything we're doing. Obviously, you know, we're human beings. We remember what happened last time, and you know, it's obviously at the back of our minds, but the forefront of what we're trying to do is to get better as a team week in, week out, and continue to grow as a team. And, you know, that's our primary focus.
Meanwhile, England announced their squad today, and Millie David will make her England debut against Wales this weekend. She's one of seven changes made by head coach John Mitchell, while Bethan Lewis will captain Wales due to Kate Williams being ruled out through injury.
Yeah, and we've got lots of exciting Six Nations chat coming up after this in Wednesday Night Rugby. But first, we had an anonymous texter, Ben. They say, my heart bleeds for the Dubs. 4 a.m. start. They get all the major sporting events. Do me a favour.
Yeah, look, it's probably I don't want to start now from in Ireland. It's fair enough. We get a lot.
I think they missed the part where you said you didn't mind the 4 a.m. start, though.
I did say I didn't mind the 4 a.m. start. I wouldn't look forward to that that road going by there. Jesus, bad enough on a Friday evening. I can't imagine what it's going to be like. Although I think they are putting in a bypass there, aren't they? So it might be a little bit better by the time the road cooks on. Yeah, look, I don't mind 4 a.m. start. Look, give stuff to other counties. Why not? Shared love.
Not to add fuel to the fire, but yes, I was on Off the Ball the other day complaining about my 3-hour drive to Galway. So I do think we need to rein it in a little bit, maybe, as Dubs.
Yeah. I don't mind going out. Listen, I'm going to Celtic Park on Friday night, heading up to Derry. It's about a 3.5-hour drive.
Yeah, we do our fair share of travelling. Also in the rugby, in the men's game, there were some new contracts issued by Leinster today.
Yes, three new deals were confirmed at the province. Gus McCarthy, Max Deegan and Cormac Foley have all penned new deals with the Blues. Ireland international McCarthy has made 27 appearances at the province since his debut 2 years ago, while Deegan has crossed the line 43 times in blue across his 10 years at the club. Just another note on him, he's been handed a 2-game ban for his red card against Ulster last week. That means he'll miss the games with Benetton in the URC and Toulon in the Champions Cup. Meanwhile, scrum half Foley has also signed a new deal, having had a loan spell at Ospreys this season.
Yeah, interesting. It's that time of the year where they start announcing all their signings, but I feel like a lot of rugby fans will be eagerly awaiting to see where Joey Carberry ends up next year. He's been highly, I don't know what the word is, touted maybe that he'll be with Leinster, but it hasn't come out yet, so we'll be kind of anxiously watching that. But you have one last rugby story for us.
Yes. So Caelan Dorris is in contention for this year's Investec Player of the Year award. He's one of five players to be nominated, with the winner set to be announced after next month's Champions Cup final. He's up against Bordeaux's Louis Bielbiere and Matthew Jalibert, as well as Finn Russell and Alfie Barberi from Bath. No one from Toulon, unfortunately. The Leinster captain is also looking to be the first player to win the award since Josh van der Vleer in 2022.
Yeah, he's going to have a hard time being up against Louis Bielbiere in his infamous red, not even infamous, famous red scrum cap. That's not going to be particularly fun.
No, not exactly, no. How much of a factor will, I suppose, the rest of the year have on that award, though? Like, is it more so going to focus on the Champions Cup itself, or is it more so going to be, you know, I suppose a bit wider?
I would presume it's mostly focused on the Champions Cup.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll look at the individual leagues for this particular award, but I suppose you wouldn't know.
I often find with those type of awards is like people just forget what happened before, like quarterfinal stage. Everything else is just
there's always reasons
in the back of mind. It's just whatever happens in quarterfinals, semi-final, finals. Sure, and part of me kind of understands it. It's where it matters. But yeah, I always think it's funny how people just forget what happened in pool stages and group stages, these competitions.
Yes. Anyway, that is all we've got time for on this evening's news round. I'll be talking to Jerry Thornley next on Wednesday Night Rugby after this break.
The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.